Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with Mike Lux, who is the CEO of Progressive Strategies and served as a special assistant to the President for Public Liaison from 1993 to 1995. We will discuss the backlash to Obama's criticism of Bain Capital from Wall Street Democrats and whether Obama will adopt a more populist anti-Wall Street campaign against the candidate of the 1%. Then finally, following last night's two fundraisers that reality TV star Donald Trump threw for Mitt Romney, we will speak with Rashad Robinson, the executive director of Color of Change, who is publicly calling for Mitt Romney to repudiate Donald Trump's racially tinged birther obsession and distance himself from Trump, who is urging Romney to embrace this racist conspiracy theory as a tactic to win the presidential election. Then finally, with news reports that radioactive tuna have been caught in Californian waters, we will look into the extent to which radioactivity from the Japanese nuclear disaster has arrived on America's shores and whether the public has been fully informed. Award-winning investigative journalist Carl Grossman joins us to discuss the continuing fallout from Fukushima and why the recent head of the NRC was forced to resign. And joining us now is Mike Lux, a partner at Democracy Partners and the co-founder and CEO of Progressive Strategies. He served as a special assistant to the president for public liaison in the White House from 1993 to 1995 and is the author of the widely praised book, The Progressive Revolution, How the Best in America Came to Be. He has a recent article at the Huffington Post, Bain and the Inside the Beltway Gang. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mike Lux.
Thanks, Ian. It's great to be on.
And you basically, in your recent article, Bain and the Inside the Beltway Gang, eviscerate the kind of equivocating Democrats advising the president to sort of, you know, not to push the Bain narrative in terms of an examination of what kind of a capitalist Mitt Romney is. And since Mitt Romney is running as for the CEO of United States Incorporated, it's pretty hard to understand why anybody would not see that as his Achilles heel. But I guess inside the Beltway, what's the explanation? They're just too chummy with Wall Street?
Well, I think there's two explanations. One is that there clearly is a group in the Democratic Party, I mean, they call themselves Democrats at least, who are not just chummy. I mean, I think it goes beyond that. I think they're cohabiting. I think they're in bed together, whatever metaphor you want to use. But these folks are very, very tight with Wall Street. They have bought the Wall Street line about how great these big banks are, hook, line, and sinker. Many of the folks who are doing the criticism have either taken huge amounts of money from Wall Street or are currently working for Wall Street once they left political office. Many of them both, you know, while they were in office, they were taking big money, and after they left, they took huge salaries to start to work for them, to lobby for them, or whatever. So you got that element of the party, and then you've got just the conventional wisdom gang in Washington, and you know, obviously these two groups overlap. But there's a lot of Democrats who are afraid of being quote unquote anti-business, and of course, Bain Capital is not like your mom and pop grocery store. Being pointing out that Bain Capital loads the companies up with debt, the companies they buy up with a lot of debt, and then strips them bare of their assets and frequently lays off their workers and bankrupts them, all the while taking all the tax breaks they get as a result to the bank. I mean, That's not the kind of business that actually employs people or helps people, and to criticize that kind of behavior is not being anti-business. I mean, I'm very pro-business. I'm pro-small business. I'm pro-manufacturing business. I'm pro, environmentally conscious business. I'm for the businesses that help, you know, create jobs and do things for people. But that's not Bain Capital.
So, but your basic argument, Mike Lux, in your Huffington Post piece, Bain and the Inside the Beltway Gang, is that the president is doing something right in taking on Bain and Mitt Romney's record, because if the Beltway establishment is upset by it, to your mind, that means it's working, right?
Yeah, you know, I used the analogy in the article. When I was working in the Clinton White House, and Clinton would give a major speech, like a State of the Union speech, for example, the immediate post-speech reaction by the Inside the Beltway gang was usually very, very negative. But what I noticed over the years in the polling that we were doing on the speech is that the more the Inside the Beltway gang liked it, the more the Inside the Beltway disliked it, the more average people really liked it. The pundits here in D.C. are completely out of touch with what the American public thinks. They are elitists. They make far more money than the average American. They don't relate to what the average American is thinking or doing, and they have no clue about what regular voters and regular people actually believe. So usually, when they say something, I assume that most Americans disagree with them.
Well, not only are the Beltway pundits out of touch, they're also completely constrained, which is a polite way of putting it, by this media convention of equal time for equal and opposite arguments.
Yeah.
And that is made no more clear than what's happening now with two Beltway insiders, Norman Ornstein at the American Enterprise Institute and Thomas Mann at Brookings, who've written a book saying it's worse than you think, which is about how dysfunctional the Congress is. And they blame 90% of the problems in the Congress on the Republicans and on the crazy Tea Party crowd who don't believe in compromise and negotiation. And they can't get arrested with this book. They can't get any mainstream press to talk to them, and the Sunday shows won't have them on, even though they're Beltway fixtures, because they break the convention of, equal time for equal arguments. And I can see it happening now. The entire mainstream press are gearing up to dignify and sanctify Mitt Romney as a credible presidential candidate, because that's how they see their job, that we have to have a level playing field and we have to apportion time and focus and praise equally on Obama and criticism equally on Obama and on Romney.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, there's a saying that's going around, which is that if the Republicans said that the Earth was flat, and the Democrats said, no, it's a globe, the news report would say, the political dispute breaks out over shape of the Earth. They wouldn't say these Republicans have gone crazy. What are they talking about? The shape of the Earth is flat. Don't they know that this got settled 500 years ago? Instead, it would be about the debate back and forth, and the media is obsessed by wanting to look quote unquote fair. Even if one side in a given argument is completely ignoring science, is completely ignoring the facts, is completely ignoring history, it doesn't matter. They're just going to do a he said she said thing and not do any analysis. It's one of the great faults of our news media right now.
Again, I'm speaking with Mike Lux, who's a partner at Democracy Partners and the co-founder and CEO of Progressive Strategies. He served as a special assistant to the president for public liaison in the White House from 1993 to 1995, and is the author of The Progressive Revolution, How the Best in America Came to Be. And he has an article recently at the Huffington Post, Bain and the Inside the Beltway Gang. Let's just go through some names here, Mike Lux, about Democrats who are in bed with Wall Street. Cory Booker, of course, he already is being used in a Republican ad in support of Mitt Romney, criticizing the president for beating up Romney about Bain Capital. Of course, it turns out that he, Booker, was a recipient of a lot of money from Bain Capital. Harold Ford, he was the chair of the Democratic Leadership Council, very Wall Street friendly. Ed Rendell, equally Wall Street friendly, Dianne Feinstein, the California senator, her husband, of course, being a big Wall Street guy. And you said, mentioned also that Mark Warner was arguably Wall Street's biggest Democratic advocate on the Hill. Schumer gets a lot of heat from being that way. Why don't you consider him one of them?
Well, Schumer's record is a little more mixed. He's certainly friendly to Wall Street on many issues and has raised a lot of money from them. But I didn't include Schumer in this particular article because Schumer hasn't really been critical of the president on the Bain strategy the way these other folks have. Schumer actually is pretty smart when it comes to political messaging, and he understands that going after what Romney did at Bain, which was, in many cases, the opposite of creating jobs. They took companies, stripped all their assets, loaded them up with debt, and made a lot of short-term money, and then set them adrift. Sometimes they made it. A lot of times they didn't. But Bain made money either way, and that's not a strategy for growth in jobs. Schumer understands the power of that message, and so has not been. He wants to win this election. He hasn't been critical at all of the Obama campaign on this, which is why I didn't particularly mention.
Sure. Well, that makes you wonder why these other people that you mentioned would want to lose the elections.
They frankly, I think a lot of these folks, they care more about their ties to Wall Street than they do about winning the election. Mm-hmm. I mean, Harold Ford. Take Harold Ford as an example. Harold Ford doesn't give a damn whether President Obama wins this election. He has no juice with the White House, and he now works on Wall Street, and he just doesn't care. In some ways, he'd be served better, because he would become the Republican,
Democratic pet.
Democrat.
Yeah, the House Democrat. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So he couldn't care less. I don't think that's necessarily true of some of these guys, but their ties to Wall Street overwhelm any political sense they have and distort their view of things. If you spend all your time around your Wall Street lobbyist friends and they tell you what's what in terms of politics, you're going to take their point of view and be less likely to look at what really works and what doesn't.
Well, in terms of Obama's strategy, and of course today he congratulated Mitt Romney, because Mitt Romney is officially past the threshold to be the next Republican candidate for president, I mean nominee for president. He's no longer a nominee. He's now the Republican candidate for president. The best arguments, though, that I've heard that eviscerate the Paul Ryan budget and the Mitt Romney, because they're pretty much twins on that one. The best argument that eviscerates Romney and Ryan was put forth by Nick Hanauer in a speech recently to TED, which they sat on. They didn't want to release it because they thought it was too controversial in an election year. But because of public pressure, they relinquished and released it. I've interviewed him recently, and I find his arguments absolutely so credible, and they're so clear. And I just don't understand why the Democrats in the White House can't get aboard what Hanauer is saying. It's so simple that, this whole myth about trickle-down economics and that we got to unshackle the job creators and give them more tax breaks because they're the ones that create jobs, he just absolutely destroys that argument and, turns it on its head. And I just don't get why they're not picking up this gift from Nick Hanauer.
Yeah, I agree with you. Nick's message is absolutely on track. Nick is just a brilliant guy, and talk about someone who's been a smart investor, a smart businessman, a job creator. Nick is all of those things, but Nick understands that ultimately that businesses succeed because they have customers, who can afford to buy things. And it's just a common sense argument that Nick spells out brilliantly. I think more and more Democrats are taking up that argument, and in fact, the publicity that Nick got over Ted refusing to do his talk was probably worth far more than had they just let him go ahead, and put the talk up. And I do think a lot of people are picking up on the argument and really starting to use it more. And it's a great one. It's one that I've used for years. You know, as I said at the beginning, this isn't about being pro or anti-business. Progressives are very much pro-business. It's the kind of business that we're pro that makes a difference. We want small business people who are providing goods and services to their communities to succeed. We want people who are pillars of their community and who are responsible business people who create good jobs to succeed. We want manufacturing companies who are making things that Americans can buy, high-quality products, to succeed. We're doing the things that will make that more likely. The kind of business we're against are the destructive businesses, the businesses that speculate and wreak havoc and pollute the hell out of communities and destroy jobs the way some of these monopolistic companies do. Those are the kind of businesses that we have problems with, not the folks who are actually creating jobs. And Nick lays that out beautifully. Some businesses create jobs, but only because they have customers able to buy their products.
So why then do you think that Obama hasn't, I guess there's still plenty of time, there's 6 months, but I wonder why not a full-throated campaign to overcome some of this economic illiteracy in the country, where a lot of working Americans are tempted to buy Mitt Romney's narrative, and they think that a successful businessman might be the ticket here to fix the economy. That, I think, is out there, and I don't discount the possibility that Romney can win, particularly if the European Eurozone crashes. We have a cascading effect over here. You know, I'm always reminded of James Carville's adage that it's the economy, stupid. So it seems to me that the president doesn't have, I don't think he's got much of a comfort zone there. I think he's really got to take on the big lie about the job creator.
Well, I completely agree with you. I think that he should be more aggressive. And I think as the campaign rolls out, as you said, there's plenty of time. For us political junkies, we want them to be pushing these things right now. But there is a sequence, I think, in campaigns where you roll out certain messages for a while, and then you roll out the next set of messages. But I certainly have, when I talk to my friends on the Obama team, I certainly have pushed them to be more populist in this kind of way, to use the Nick Hanauer message, to use a message about how jobs are really created, and to also go straight at Romney and talk about the reason that Mitt Romney is rich is that he gamed the system in a way that most of the rest of us became poorer. That's just the bottom line. Mitt Romney became rich because there were tax breaks there shouldn't have been for writing off debt on leveraged buyouts. He became rich because there were tax breaks on carried interest that have no place in the tax code, that distort the tax code and economic markets. And allow bubbles to form. He became rich, basically, and the rest of us got poor. And there's a direct reason. There's a direct connection. The reasons that Mitt Romney got rich are the same reasons that the rest of us have gotten poorer over the last 30 years.
Well, let me just close up that.
I think that's an important message.
But a lot of progressives, certainly a lot of people with, the Occupy movement, they see a plague on both their houses. They see that Obama is compromised because he took a record amount of money from Wall Street in 2008. Now, it's pretty obvious that Wall Street, they've fallen out of love with him. He's not getting that kind of money. Romney's getting the money. But the arguments I've heard a million times is that Geithner and Rubin and the whole Democratic Wall Street clique have compromised him to the point where he lost the ability to really take on Wall Street, particularly after the crash when he first came into power. And in many ways, the Tea Party was created in the vacuum left by Obama. So give us a sense of whether he recognizes how, by not framing what happened on Wall Street, the left in this country were left sitting on their hands while the right got it wrong, of course, the Tea Party, but they ran off with it. I still can't get over that anomaly. And secondly, do you think he is still compromised by Wall Street, Obama?
Well, I, you know, to some extent. Look, in the writing that I have done while Obama's been president, the thing that I've been most critical of the administration about is that I do think that they've been too close to Wall Street. They're certainly not alone in that. I think there are plenty of people in both parties that are. Wall Street is very, very powerful in this city that I work in, of D.C. And I do think that Obama has not stood up to them enough, has not taken them on enough. I think Geithner was the wrong choice for Treasury Secretary. So I agree with that critique to a great extent. Having said that, in spite of all of that, this is a president who supported some reforms on Wall Street to tighten up regulations. He's a president who gave who helped us get the Consumer Protection Financial Protection Bureau, that was Elizabeth Warren's idea. He's a president that got the Volcker rule passed, helped get that passed. He's a president that has been in favor of eliminating the tax breaks on carried interest that I was talking about earlier. So it's not like he's pro-Wall Street the way Romney is pro-Wall Street. Romney is a creature of Wall Street. That's his biography, that's his history, that's his orientation, and that's how he'll govern, period, end of story. Romney won't just appoint some people like Geithner, who are too pro-Wall Street. His entire administration will be of that ilk. So do I wish that Obama had stood up more to Wall Street? Of course I do, absolutely. But do I think that he's as compromised or even close as Romney? No, absolutely not. I think that the tougher that Obama can be on Wall Street between now and the election, the better it will be for him in the election, because I think American voters are disgusted by Wall Street, by what's gone on there, and are ready to have a president who will stand up to them. So I hope that he will make that a bigger part of his campaign.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here today, Mike Lux.
Ian, it was great to be on with you. I always enjoy coming on the show, and please have me back anytime.
Thank you. I will indeed. Again, I've been speaking with Mike Lux, who's a partner at Democracy Partners and co-founder and CEO of Progressive Strategies. He served as a special assistant to the president for public liaison in the White House from 1993 to 1995, and is the author of The Progressive Revolution, How the Best in America Came to Be. He also has a recent article at the Huffington Post, Bain and the Inside the Beltway Gang. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back with the head of Color of Change calling for Mitt Romney to repudiate his relationship with Donald Trump.